It's a war that could potentially have caused more than 80,000 casualties. Yet the U.S. President Donald Trump objects to Congress trying to end U.S. support for the Saudi war in Yemen. In this edition of the debate, we'll ask why the U.S. President is so insistent on its support for the war in Yemen and, in turn, Saudi Arabia, so much so that it has threatened to veto any inappropriate legal challenge to the conflict, objecting to U.S. congressional resolutions to end the U.S. involvement in the Saudi-led war. Well, before kicking off the debate, let's now cross over to Washington, D.C., to get an update from Press TV correspondent Colin Campbell about the standoff between the White House and the Capitol Hill over military support for the kingdom. Well, Colin, at this point, you know the news, but in a sense it's very surprising, but maybe not, as to why this U.S. president is so adamant on supporting the war and, in turn, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, exactly. And many lawmakers are trying to get to the bottom of why the president seems so complicit or at least ambivalent when it comes to the activities of the Saudi regime and how its incursion into Yemen has really tried to really manipulate some of the foreign affairs of the U.S. and how it deals with that conflict. Now, of course, there have been lawmakers who have challenged the president on his relationship with the Saudis, especially after the death of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi and how that was treated. If we remember correctly, the president himself and the Trump administration seemingly at the very beginning tried to cover up what happened. In fact, sometimes giving excuses for what happened in Khashoggi's brutal death, as it was later realized, with the president giving some excuses as to maybe it was a fistfight gone bad, or all of these other types of excuses that really seem to give the Saudis a way out rather than confronting the problem head on. And I think right now, when we see a democratically led House, they are talking about this and wondering what is motivating the president's relationship with Saudi Arabia. Is it something that is meritorious, or is it something somewhat venal? And I think that's what lawmakers want to get to the bottom of, whether or not there is monetary exchange for the seemingly complicit relationship that the president has with MSB and other top Saudi officials.
Thank you for that, Colin Campbell. We appreciate our correspondent there. Let's bring in University lecturer Danielle Kovalik, who joins us from Pittsburgh. Danielle Kovalik, welcome. In your opinion, why is Trump to veto, as he says, an effort in U.S. Congress to end U.S. military support for the Saudi Arabia-led coalition in the war in Yemen?
Well, I assume that he is doing that because he's decided to align very strongly with Israel in Saudi Arabia in trying to counter other forces in the Middle East, such as Iran and Syria. But there is, of course, a huge irony to Trump's support for Saudi Arabia, which he himself pointed out during his own presidential campaign, and that is Saudi Arabia is the biggest supporter of groups like al-Qaeda in the Middle East, and including in Yemen as well. It's been bizarre, not only under Trump, but under Obama and under Bush, that we've been supporting Saudi Arabia even after 9/11, when we know that Saudi Arabia had its own role in the 9/11 attacks.
Well, I'm going to ask you and anyone else tuning in right now to maybe take a step back. I mean, let's take a look at this situation here. I mean, this war is 4 years old practically. We just had conjoined twins whose life went away, they passed on, because Saudi Arabia controls the airspace, doesn't allow for any type of emergency trips to be made for people in a dire need of medical attention. There are reports indicating that maybe this war, maybe it could have claimed the lives of 80,000 people. And these are not reasons for the U.S. and its president to want to stop this war. It doesn't make sense in a way. Or am I being too dramatic here in posing this question?
No, I mean, I agree with you. It's the question that needs to be asked. And, you know, while 80,000 people may have died directly through the bombings, the UN estimates it could be millions that are going to die due to starvation. Could be 12 million, could be 21 million. I've heard different figures. I mean, this could be one of the greatest acts of genocide that we've ever witnessed. And obviously that should lead the U.S. to stop supporting this campaign, but it should have stopped the U.S. from supporting it to begin with. We've known for many years that millions were at stake in this war. The truth is the U.S. does not care about human rights. It does not care about humanitarian law. And its support for Yemen, again, both under Obama and Trump, is proof of this. The U.S. should care about these things. The U.S. citizens should care about this. But sadly, again, this is proof that those are not serious considerations of the U.S. in its foreign policy.
Let's bring in senior U.S. Congressional Defense Advisor Frederick Peterson, who joins us from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome, Frederick Peterson. I'd like to start out my question on a personal level, because I along with a lot of other people around the world, are disturbed, just as human beings, as to what's happening in Yemen. I'm sure you're well aware of the stats. Most media, however, are reporting around 15,000 deaths, but some reports are indicating it could be as high as 80,000 since the war began. 80,000 people to have died. What do you think is going through the mind of the U.S. President Donald Trump when he comes out saying that he's not only supports the war, but he will veto any action that goes for ending this war, which in essence means supporting Saudi Arabia and his coalition?
Well, unfortunately, Yemen has become a playground of parties from outside the region, as well as conflicts among parties that live within the region. The people are, as always, in time of war, the worst victims are the innocents. And there are innocents that are being killed. That is certainly acknowledged. Those innocents are also being killed, their deaths and their their sacrifices for their own lives and their own liberty are being used and exploited for propaganda purposes as well. There is not a war of infliction in Yemen. There are two contending sides, and actually there are multiple contending sides. Several of those sides are from outside the region that are becoming involved in what is becoming, what is turning this conflict and aggravating, instigating this conflict into a conflict for geopolitical hegemony. In other words, a conflict to control an area and a region and a grab for expansion. There is money coming into the region, there are arms coming into the region, there are instigations coming into the region from outside. That is not from the U.S. The U.S. is fighting, we believe, what is essentially a defensive a struggle. And if the war could be ended tomorrow, should be ended tomorrow, with all outside players absenting themselves from the region, I am certain you would find a willing partner for that policy in the United States, and then the President of the United States as being the leader of this country.
Frederick Peterson, I got to just jump in real quickly
other
here.
Parties that
hold
are
on to
also
the, I'm sorry.
Engaged.
Hold
yes,
on, hold on. Yeah, hold on to your thoughts there. The reason why I'm interjecting is, how would you feel if the U.S. How would you feel if the U.S. is supporting Al-Qaeda in Yemen? What if I told you that? What would be your reaction?
Yemen is a very complicated situation, a very complicated situation. If I were to assert that the Soviets have an interest in Yemen, or the Russians have an interest in Yemen, and that Iran has an interest in Yemen, and certainly Saudi has an interest in Yemen.
No, but my question is, what if I was to tell you the United States is supporting al-Qaeda in Yemen? What would be your reaction? I'm guessing you would say, where's the proof?
Well, we would certainly have to look at the degree and the reasons for support, and what is being called support would have to be well defined.
Okay, I'm going to do that now. Please allow me to do that. Frederick Peterson, let me do that. There's
a report
that I'm looking at.
Please.
This indicates Saudi Arabia and the UAE coalition are cutting deals with al-Qaeda in Yemen in order for them to gain a military edge over the Ansarullah fighters. So the United States is indirectly supporting al-Qaeda because they're the ones that are selling arms to Saudi Arabia and the UAE. I'm more than happy to give you the source of this. It's plastered all over Google. Frederick Peterson.
Who is supporting the opposition in Yemen? Do you have that data also?
The opposition is only being supported not through what you're inferring to as being Iran with arms, if that's what you're implying here. Just the same way that Iran provides support for the Palestinian cause, same way it's supporting the Ansarullah movement.
Right. There are several extraterritorial missions and groups that are fighting outside of the region, in fact, and well within the region. There is also essentially a war for supremacy, shall we say, hegemony within within the Gulf area.
Great.
And
to give Daniel Kovalik a chance here. Sorry, Frederick Peterson. Daniel Kovalik, I posed Frederick Peterson with a question. I gave him the report findings that Saudi-UAE coalition are cutting deals with al-Qaeda in Yemen. And of course, that means that the U.S. is indirectly supporting al-Qaeda because it's providing the arms to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, who are obviously cutting these deals with al-Qaeda. Obviously, this should pose a huge problem. But why is this not being reported or highlighted? Because we're looking again, my core thing being that deaths of almost 80,000 people, if the reports are accurate. Daniel Kovalik.
Yes, well, I agree. It should be reported, and none of this is reported. We know that the U.S. was also supporting ISIS in Syria. And yes, we know that Saudi Arabia has been supporting al-Qaeda in Yemen. And again, as you note, that means the U.S., which is supporting Saudi Arabia in Yemen, is at least indirectly supporting al-Qaeda. This should be huge news, given again who attacked us on 9/11. But you would never know from U.S. foreign policy who attacked us on 9/11, because we seem to be partnering with those very people all the time, including in Yemen. The other thing I want to point out is that, and I refer you to retired Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who has spoken about this, is that there is no evidence that Iran is providing any significant support in the Yemeni theater. The idea that this is complicated, as my counterpart said, is just a smokescreen to get people not to care about U.S. support for the greatest mass atrocity, again, that we've ever witnessed in modern history. And that's what is happening in Yemen. And I think it's significant, frankly, that one of the first things he said, he talked about Soviet support in Yemen. The Soviet Union has not existed since 1991, but that is how out of it these people are who are trying
to
defend
Russian, the
U.S. policy in Yemen.
Go ahead, Frederick Peterson.
Let's try to reach together for the truth and not try to take advantage of statements that were corrected. I said Soviet, I also corrected it to mean Russian. However, the hegemony of the Soviet Union, what they were seeking to do and engage is very similar to what is being done today by Russia. Okay? So it's the same people under a different name. And we can contend with that if you would like. But the point, it's not true, of course. And I appreciate your tremendous patriotism in rising to the occasion in defense of what happened to the United States on 9/11. That's something that we share in common, I'm sure. That what we're talking about here is a war that is not being inflicted upon Yemen. The forces within Yemen are being instigated from the outside. Can we agree that there are allies on both sides from out of Yemen? Is that a basis upon which we can have agreement? Yes or no?
Oh, we can't. Why don't you talk about the proportion? As a matter of fact, I'll ask you, Frederick Peterson, how many rockets have
yes.
Let's talk about the rockets that the Ansarullah fighters have fired in Yemen. Can you count them?
Can we count the rockets that were fired in Yemen?
From
I don't
the
think we can
from
count
the
rounds
fighters.
Of ammunition that have been fired either. Pardon me?
Ansarullah fighters, the ones who are fighting, referred to as Houthis. We call them the Ansarullah movement and their fighters. How many rockets have they fired?
Yes.
8, 10, maybe 12? How many have Saudi Arabia and its coalition fired? Do you have any idea? Can you put those two into context for us?
Many more. However, where did the rockets come from that were fired? And where did the rockets come from each side?
You tell us.
They didn't create them in Yemen, did they?
You tell us.
They didn't create them in Yemen. They certainly were not created in Yemen. Yemen is being used as an attempt to isolate Saudi Arabia and to gain hegemony over the Gulf by Iran and Russia and using the people of Yemen as their tool to divide and to conquer.
Okay.
And that is
I need to get a reaction.
The basic
I need to get
fact
a reaction.
Of what is happening.
Thank
this
you.
Is
Daniel
a defensive war. It's
I'm
not
sorry,
an offensive
Frederick Peterson.
War.
Let's get a reaction from Daniel Kovalik on that. Go ahead, Daniel Kovalik.
Sure. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that this is some sort of, again, superpower, conflict in Yemen. It is an indigenous struggle by the Houthis, and Saudi Arabia is engaged in a wholesale destruction of Yemen, of its people, of its historic sites. It's trying to overtake a port in Yemen for its own purposes. Largely what's happening is a turkey shoot by Saudi Arabia against a very outmatched opponent in Yemen, in the Houthis, who, by the way, have no interest in a very serious alignment with Iran. The Houthis are very actively courting and working with Sunnis in Yemen. Again, this is not some superpower theater that we're being led to believe. This is largely an attack by Saudi Arabia against a much weaker people in Yemen, and so consequently, Saudi Arabia is not being attacked. I mean, let's get that clear. The only people being attacked are in Yemen, and they're being attacked by Saudi Arabia, and they're being killed. And again, the toll by the end of this will be millions of Yemenis dead, and possibly their civilization destroyed. That is the issue here. This is genocide, and it needs to end, and the U.S. needs to get out of that theater.
There have been missiles intercepted over the capital, Riyadh, of Saudi Arabia. Did they fly from where? From nowhere? Are the Houthis being supported by no one? Are they simply a purely indigenous group that raises their own money and has their own weapon supplies? No, they are being supported, they are being instigated and employed by outside powers. This is quite clear.
Okay.
Did they develop a missile to fly over the capital of Saudi Arabia simply as a high school science project? No. No. This is a struggle that needs resolution. I think we can agree on that. But there must be good faith and a reaching for resolution, not for hegemony. It has to be a good faith negotiation, and I think you would find the United States agreeable to that. And I think you would find, I hope you would find, all parties that would gain from a peaceful resolution. The ones who would gain the most would be the people of Yemen themselves, who are, we agree again, being slaughtered on a terrible, terrible level.
Okay. Well,
okay.
This is the explanation, Frederick Peterson. We got
but
a little time
ends
left here.
Without interference from
this is the
outside.
Explanation. This is the explanation that's given by the White House regarding the use of a veto. The administration said that the resolution was inappropriate because U.S. forces had provided aircraft, refueling, and other support in the Yemen conflict, not combat troops. The reason why the U.S. administration, headed by Donald Trump, saying that we're not providing troops. If I could show you in this laptop that I'm looking at pictures of the incidents where 24 school children under the age of 15 died, they found remnants of the US-made bombs in that incident. Do you recall that incident, Frederick Peterson? I can show you the pictures, but they're too graphic for me to show
yes,
it on
yeah, actually,
air.
I do.
Okay, so where is the logic here? Because the U.S. has blood on its hand.
Do any of the other countries within the region have blood on their hands?
Their bombs are not being found there. That school bus did not have any other bombs except ones that said made in the USA. I could show you those pictures also.
Where did the missile flying or intercepted over the capital of Riyadh come from?
Okay, I can see you're deflecting that. Daniel Kovalik, do you think that this type of point of view is
I'm not.
But you're not answering the question. I mean, it's pretty black and white, I would say.
What we need...
We got less than 30 seconds
agreeing.
To Daniel Kovalik. I'm sorry.
Agreeing
Daniel
that the
Kovalik,
United States...
in closing, what should the U.S. do? And how can it fight Trump on keeping this war going? 30 seconds.
The U.S. needs to stop all military support to Saudi Arabia. It needs to condemn the war in Yemen. It needs to sanction Saudi Arabia for what it's doing in Yemen. You know, if this were any other country doing this sort of thing, if this were an adversary engaged in such a genocide somewhere, the U.S. would be aggressively condemning that country. And the fact that it's not only not condemning Saudi Arabia, but that it's a partner in this crime with Saudi Arabia is simply reprehensible. And
thank you. We're
going
to have to end there. Thank you very much. University lecturer Daniel Kovalik from Pittsburgh, PA. Thank you for your comments. Senior U.S. Congressional Defense Advisor Frederick Peterson. I wish we had more time to give you. Unfortunately, we're just fresh out of time. Thank you, the viewer, for watching another edition of The Debate. From Ikoa Tafoe and the entire team in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye.